This is Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM with me, Sean Delaney. And I'm delighted that you can join me this week for another half hour of professional development and insights into teaching and learning. You can listen back to over 350 previous episodes of Inside Education by going to seandelaney.com and clicking on podcasts. This week, I'm delighted to bring you a programme from the 2019 Annual Conference of the Irish Primary PE Association, which took place in the Watershed in Kilkenny on Saturday, the 9th of March. The theme of this year's conference was Learning with the Head, Heart and Hands in Physical Education. As you would expect from an association focused on physical education, the day was action-packed, and when I went along at lunchtime, my visit coincided with their annual general meeting. Later in the programme, I'll bring you an interview with founder member Dr. Francis Murphy from Dublin City University. But first, I spoke to two men who gave presentations on the day. Dr. Liam Clohessy is the chair of the association and Cameron Stewart from the Scottish Association of Teachers of Physical Education. I began by asking Cameron what his presentation at the conference was about.
My presentation is about teaching games for understanding, a primary version. So basically a games-based approach where you're teaching through the game. I found, especially my experience in secondary school, it was very much isolated drills, and I didn't think that worked very well with primary kids. Primary kids by nature like to play games. So my approach was to teach mainly through the game, where they can improve their skills but also have fun. You know, having fun is the most important thing, and kids want to play games. So my approach is about teaching and developing skills through games, layering the games, making them more difficult, starting with a really simple game and then building it up to the game form that you and I would play.
So can you give an example of some of the games that you're recommending?
The game which I showed today at the conference is called Isolation, and that's a really watered-down version of handball. So if I was teaching a primary class, I wouldn't teach them 7 versus 7 handball because there's too many skills, it's too complex, it's too dynamic. So we start with a really simple game where everyone has a hoop and a cone and you just try to knock someone's cone over. And then through lots of different layers, we make the game more complex, and then we actually build it up. There's like 3 or 4 different games forms. It's quite complex. It's probably quite hard for me to kind of get it across. But the game that we played today was really simple. And then the next layer we added was, if you had the ball, you had to take 3 steps. And then we started to play a partner version. So we played the same game with a partner. And then we played with 4 people, and then we built it up.
And what size ball are we talking about here? Is it an Olympic handball size ball?
Not yet. With the younger kids, I play with like a volleyball training ball, which is quite soft, it's quite tactile. If a kid gets hit in the face, etc., there's not many tears. But when they get to primary 6 and 7, we are looking at the handball.
If I was at primary 6 and 7 is what age group?
That would be, 11, 12-year-olds, 10-year-olds. I suppose it's completely dependent on the child. If I feel as though a kid has mastered, you know, being able to handle a bigger ball, then I would maybe introduce a handball which is a bit smaller. If I was to use handball with primary 1s, which are 5-year-olds, it'd be far too complex. The bigger ball gives them more time. The ball's lighter, so it bounces, gives them more time to get into position, allows them to compete in the game. But as they get older and their skills become more confident, we would then use a smaller ball, like a handball.
Liam, what's your presentation about today?
My presentation is about teaching social skills in physical education. So I suppose it kind of links in, kind of like Cameron says as well, with the kind of theme of the conference here today is kind of learning with the head, the heart and the hands in physical education. So I suppose a lot of times when we think of physical education, we just think of the physical skills, you know, which are important, a really vital part of physical education, you know, you're catching, kicking, throwing and so on. But also I suppose we're trying to showcase that there's so much more that you can learn about through physical education. So I suppose in my presentation, I'm looking at how you can explicitly teach and support children in developing in areas like, you know, I suppose, fair play, sportsmanship, leadership, resilience, teamwork, cooperation. And I suppose they're really important traits in, you know, in physical education, but also that can be transferred, you know, across the classroom. So I suppose it's kind of, I suppose, just broadening out and making people aware that there is so many benefits, and that also that we can explicitly teach these areas. So like Cameron today was explicitly teaching a lot about kind of cognitive skills, so decision making, thinking. Likewise, I'm kind of looking more at kind of the teamwork aspects, that the same way that you explicitly teach a physical skill, you can also explicitly support children to develop an understanding of how can I, you know, be a good team player, how can I, you know, develop my leadership skills or whatever it is within a team. And I suppose that by doing that, I suppose it's kind of advocating that, you know, physical education is such an important part of the curriculum, and there are so many overlaps. And I suppose it's kind of part of the, I suppose, the greater mission of the Irish Primary PE Association, you know, with the ongoing review of the primary school curriculum here in Ireland. We'd be advocating that, you know, physical education should be a core element of any, redevelopments. And even that, I suppose, at the moment we have 60 minutes that we'd be looking at, could we maybe push that out? That we were saying that 150 minutes in a week would be so beneficial, we would see, for children in terms of their physical, but also, like we said, and like we're kind of showcasing today, in so many other areas, their cognitive and also their social skills.
So you've mentioned a lot of skills there that are very important and that are very valuable, like leadership and resilience and so on. How are you going to recommend to the teachers attending the conference here that they build those skills in children?
It's kind of actually almost like a similar approach that you take to teaching a physical skill. If I was taking a physical skill, first what you do, I suppose you give a demonstration, you identify what does it look like, what are the key elements of the skill. So likewise, today I'm going to be taking an example of fair play. So we're going to break down, okay, because I suppose that can be an abstract concept, you know, for a child. So we're going to break down what actually is fair play. Fair play is, you know, encouraging your teammate. Fair play is, you know, not arguing with the referee or, you know, not giving out to your opponent, to whatever it is like that. So I suppose you're breaking down, you're identifying, showing what are the key aspects of the skill, and then also giving them an opportunity to practice it in, as like Cameron said, kind of a paired back setting. So rather than going straight into a full game or to a yard situation, you know, we could read maybe some social stories, some books, maybe use of puppets, role play scenarios in advance, maybe before we even go to the PE hall. And then when we've had that chance to practice it, then we bring it out into our activities outside. And I suppose then as well that when we are outside, it's about making the children more aware. So like things like little self-assessment checklists. So after they've played a game, they maybe look at, say, how did I do on my fair play today? How many people did I encourage on my team during this game? Did I accept the decision, or was I a good winner or a good loser during this game? And I suppose it's raising their consciousness and awareness of those skills. And as I said, just being explicit then in terms of encouraging them. Simple things even like, you know, instead of having the winners of the game or the team who gets the highest score, you know, you can earn 10 bonus points if your team is the best fair play, or your team has the best teamwork, or whatever it is. But it's just that you're explicit in explaining what are those things, and then just showing that you value that just as much as the other elements within physical education.
How did you get so interested in physical education yourself, of all the subjects you teach in primary school?
I suppose maybe like as a young age, I always would have been interested in, I suppose, sports and things like that. And like the way there's a difference between physical activity and physical education, there's also a difference between sport and physical education. And I suppose it wasn't until I started my undergraduate that I kind of realized that, you know, PE was so much more than just roll out the ball and play a game or whatever it is. And I suppose that was just something that fascinated and interested me when I was in college, with an opportunity to pick a specialism subject. So physical education would have been the area that I chose. And it was kind of just everything kind of fall on in place from that, you know. And I suppose then when I started teaching, as I said, it was something that I was very interested in. And I suppose to have done a bit of postgraduate study or whatever, and I suppose getting involved in the Irish Primary PE Association has been another thing that's fueled it. And I suppose it's just, you know, I am very passionate, like Cameron says, I suppose, that there are so many benefits. And I suppose that, you know, we're very conscious that as primary school teachers, we have 10 and 11 subjects, you know, and it is challenging to have the broad across the spectrum. But it just feels so strongly that this is something that benefits children in so many ways that, you know, if we can support teachers to do that, it's going to make a big difference to the lives of children. And I suppose, you know, that's why, you know, we're here on a Saturday. You know, you have over 100 teachers who most of them have paid themselves on a Saturday, you know, to come out and to try and, I suppose, do that, to provide a great experience for the children in our classes. And that's really heartening and positive to see.
You mentioned there that there are benefits for children in doing physical education, and of course for many of them it's their favourite subject. But what about the children for whom PE maybe is not their favourite subject? They're reluctant to get involved. How do you deal with that in your own school?
Yeah, and like that is probably the most challenging thing, is that motivational piece. But I think it's kind of like that in terms of moving it away from just about, you know, focusing on the outcome or the performance. So I'm not worried about in my PE class who's the fastest, who can throw the furthest, you know, who scores the most points. That's not really what I value in my class. I value a child who is trying to improve. It's kind of like a focus on the process. So they're improving the different aspects of the skills. And I suppose it's just maybe change of a mindset slightly, that, and I suppose then that kind of opens up, I think, to a lot of those children maybe who maybe traditionally might say that, you know, look, PE isn't for me, PE isn't something I'm good at. But if they can see that, you know, it's not just valuing the outcome, that there's lots of other things that are being valued and developed through our PE, I think that's your kind of way in to get those children more involved. Because like, you could have a child who's never won a race or who's never scored a goal, but they could be praised by the teacher for showing the best fair play in the class or sportsmanship, and that's something that sticks with them and encourages them going forward. So I think it's maybe just even kind of altering and switching away that focus to always the process and the outcome. It's about the learning as we go, and I think that can, I suppose, help support hopefully children to, I suppose, become engaged and to stay engaged with physical activity as they go throughout their life.
Cameron, do you want to add to that? I see you seem to be agreeing with a lot of what Liam is saying.
Without a doubt, everything Liam has just said is completely spot on. I think, you know, my experience of PE was pretty negative. It was completely performance driven. You know, who was the best at football? And that can be if there's one intimidating environment, it's playing a sport. You're out in the open, there's nowhere to hide. No wonder kids who don't enjoy movement, etc., and they get thrown into a game are put off by it. It's completely embarrassing. It can be horrible, and I felt that myself, which is why I'm so passionate about, you know, physical education. Because if it is taught correctly, if you take the focus away from performance and you look at the focus on maybe learning, like how we learn a skill, everyone getting better together, it completely changes the environment, and it can really engage those kids who maybe aren't motivated to be motivated. If you take the focus away from performance to the learning process, completely agree.
Yep. Are you a classroom teacher yourself?
No, I'm a PE specialist. So I was at Edinburgh Uni for 4 years, so secondary trained, but we did 1 year in primary and then was lucky enough to find a primary PE job. So I've been teaching primary PE for the last 6 or 7 years. I see the kids once every 2 weeks for a double slot, and I'm in one school as well, which is a really unique situation, which I love, because the school's it's a primary school of about 850 kids, so it's quite large. But it gives me a unique access to these kids to really make a difference. And in an ideal world, we'd have a PE specialist in all the schools. But saying that, maybe not. My goal just now, especially in Scotland, is to try and get the classroom teachers to really push on with PE, because, you know, classroom teachers are some of the most skilled people that I've ever worked with. Their ability to differentiate and be creative. And if we can get this across, that PE can really help kids, not just on the with PE, but also in the classroom, I think classroom teachers could do beautiful things with physical education, really. So,
because it is something that has been controversial here from time to time, is the specialist, the idea of a specialist teacher for physical education. Yeah. What are the benefits of that, and what are the drawbacks from your perspective?
I would say, from my perspective, benefits are, you have an individual who is going to push the PE agenda, like who will fight for PE in the school. You know, he'll look after even simple things like looking after the equipment, you know, upskilling teachers. There's definitely a way of looking at it that a PE specialist could de-skill a classroom teacher in terms of, oh, that guy or girl is doing all the PE, you know, I don't need to worry about it. And that's the complete opposite of what I want to happen. The way that I approach it with myself in the schools, I try and team teach with some of the classroom teachers. So I make it very clear that, you know, I'm the PE specialist. You know, I am here to help classroom teachers with how they deliver PE. You know, obviously, because I'm solely focused on PE, I'm always looking at journals, you know, speaking to Liam, etc., getting new ideas, building new resources. And then I can take those resources and give them to the teachers, and I can team teach with them and show them how it looks like. And it's not too complex, you know, like I'm, you know, not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm pretty sure I've got that saying wrong as well. But if I can do it, anyone can do it. So, you know, I like to see, I think there is an understanding that a PE specialist, you know, in some ways could de-skill, but there's definitely a way to look at it that through the right process, a PE teacher can only be a great thing, can only push the subject and upskill classroom teachers, which is the most important thing.
And Liam, the attendance today is primary teachers at this conference, and there's a separate post-primary physical education association. Why is there a difference for primary and post-primary teachers of physical education?
Yeah, so I suppose it kind of draws into what Cameron was saying there about sometimes, you know, that debate around specialist versus generalist. Like, whilst, you know, someone who's a physical education educated at second level, okay, or they teach PE in secondary school, while they have a huge knowledge of their subject, of their content, at the same time, if they haven't gone through a process probably like Cameron has, where they've, I suppose, been educated in terms of working with primary school children, like I always say, it's very different working with a 6-year-old to a 16-year-old. You could have all the content and all the knowledge in the world about your particular activity, but can you get through to that child? Have you the pedagogy, the approaches to support them? So I suppose in that way, I suppose, like, when people talk about specialists, they say, oh, you know, we've lots of secondary school PE teachers, and they are absolutely fantastic what they do, and we can absolutely learn from them, and we have a representative today from the Secondary Association. But I think when we're talking about primary schools, you need people who have that expertise at, you know, child development and working with children at that age. And like Cameron said, sometimes they are the best people who will be able to get across to that child, because, you know, they are, you know, they know who responds well, you know, how can I differentiate here, how can I work with John or Mary, you know, because they've been with them day in, day out through the classroom. It's just to be mindful of that, I suppose, when that kind of debate comes up. And I suppose there is opportunities, like Cameron said, like there's opportunities to do specialisms now, even more, we'll say, perhaps, than when I went through the College of Education. And again, it was an area I kind of researched into a little bit, but like that. So within a school, we've got a school of generalists, but if you've got one person maybe who has that bit more expertise, that expertise can be shared in certain ways. So like Cameron mentioned, team teaching. There's lots of opportunities there to, I suppose, if we can, I suppose, try and develop and tap into, for example, the 100 people here today, that they don't just go back and just teach their own class. How can we get spread some of that knowledge that they have with the other teachers within their school?
And finally, I want to ask each of you if there was one message you wanted to leave listeners with, and obviously attendees at the conference here today, about teaching physical education, what would it be?
For me, it would be the value on it, and that just that it can be so holistic, that there is so much more than just what happens out in the pitch or out in the court, that learning, you know, as like the conference said, can learn with the head, the heart and the hands, and it can be transferred into so many aspects of life. And I suppose just that it is something that we need to value. And as I said, with the ongoing, I suppose, curriculum review, I really feel strongly it is something that we should try and prioritise. And as I said, 60 minutes a week is very little time to work on it. So again, to try and push that upwards, I think it would be a huge benefit to children, not only in terms of their physical health, but also, you know, across the spectrum in terms of, you know, the more holistic development.
What would your message be, Cameron?
Exactly. Liam said it pretty well there. Without doubt, the value of physical education, I'll completely agree with that. And I suppose, like, also just to try new things. Like, you know, as I said, classroom teachers, etc., are some of the most skilled individuals that I've come across. And, you know, there's so many ideas out there on the internet, on the website. There's sites like Joey Fief, you know, the physical educator. I use that a lot. The resources on there are fantastic. So I'd say to teachers, go and try new things. A lot of what I have done has been trial and error. I've used a lot of secondary things that have not worked, and then I've adapted them to primary. And I think if teachers try things out, they'll see, and obviously have error, but then have success, they'll see the real value in physical education and what a difference it can make. It can change children's lives, not just, you know, out on the pitch or in the game hall, but I'm talking in the classroom. I have seen young boys and girls who hold their head higher, who are more confident in the classroom with socialising. It can be, until you see it, you don't understand it. So I'd say, research as much as you can, get ideas, try them. If they don't work, don't worry, try new things. And ask for help. The support is there. You know, I'm more than happy. You know, Liam, all this great setup, it's all there. Just got to go out and give it a bash.
That website you mentioned was?
Thephysicaleducator.com. So that's Joey Fief. He's a Canadian teacher. And that's got great games on, etc. You know, and he shares a lot of resources as well. But there's all sorts. There's hundreds over in America in terms of PE resources and whatnot. And then obviously we have the resources we're developing with SAP PE. And no doubt, you know, Liam will be developing some as well. And I'll be hopefully working with yourself in the future. So, yeah, there's plenty out there.
Do you have a favourite website yourself, Liam?
IrishPrimaryPE.com, of course. But yeah, no, there are some good resources. I suppose the Professional Development Service for Teachers as well has a lot of good resources. The new Move Well, Move Often SkullNet resource is very good as well. And yeah, like Cameron said, I suppose, even I find I learn a lot from Twitter, like being in groups like PE Central, you know, a lot of, you know, like Cameron said, you get fantastic ideas, because it could be a 10, 20 second clip and it could just blow your mind and say, geez, I never thought of doing something like that. And then you go down that road.
Next, I spoke to Frances Murphy, who is a lecturer in the School of Arts Education and Movement in the Institute of Education, St Patrick's Campus of Dublin City University. She is a former primary teacher whose research interests are mentoring teachers to enhance the teaching of physical education, continuing professional development in physical education, teacher beliefs and practices related to physical education, inclusion of children with special needs in physical education, and assessment in physical education. Frances was a founding member of the Irish Primary PE Association, so when we spoke, I began by asking her to look back on the association from the start and to evaluate where it is today.
Sean, I'll be very positive overall. I think back in 2001, this whole association began with a small but significant conference hosted in St. Pat's College at the time. And our key, I suppose, objective of the whole conference was to try and get teachers, primary teachers, together to set up a subject association. And in doing that, we as teacher educators supported the initial steps of that journey. But I think as we sat shivering in a classroom on winter evenings, wondering what kind of a constitution could the association have, not to mind say all the practical activities and the potential that was there for it to really impact primary PE in a positive way, we honestly wouldn't have dreamed that it would have come so far so quickly. And I suppose the biggest positive of it is that it's run mostly by teachers now, with significant support from the colleges, teacher educators, but nevertheless the teachers are driving it, and to us that's huge. The PDST have come on board now as well, so you know, again, it's not something we would have seen happen quite so quickly. In our dreams, yes, we wanted it to be here, but it has happened. And I think while today is all about the annual conference, I think the significance of the other activities throughout the year shouldn't be forgotten, because there are little clusters beavering away in various parts of the country and bringing in new teachers to contribute all the time, thinking and trying to develop not just patchwork and jumping in with a workshop here and a workshop there, but working through and presenting things that are going to be meaningful long term for teachers.
One of the things about you, Frances, is you have one foot in the practice side of physical education and the other foot in the academic side of it. What do you think are the big issues for physical education in Ireland, and particularly at primary level at the moment? You know, the strengths and the challenges.
Probably from our point of view in teacher education, the biggest challenge is to marry theory with practice and to make sure that our practitioners have, I know it sounds very probably prescriptive, but a grounding in physical education, the whole rationale and the rationale for, you know, why am I doing what I'm doing? I think that's the first challenge for us. Outside of teacher education itself, I think the challenges on the ground are, and I've obviously thought long and hard about this in my long career in teacher education and prior to that in primary. And I think much of it has got to do with the drive that has to come from the DES. I think they have to be central to change in primary school, and I would like to see them take a much stronger position at the table when it comes to really drawing together what should be going on in primary school. I think there's a huge body of opinion out there that it has to be taken over by different sports and different sporting bodies moving in and teaching children. I've always thought that is a role that needs to be teased out, and there's certainly a role for coaches from all different sports, and in particular supporting the classroom teacher role. But I think far more importantly is for the DES to say physical education is really important in the everyday life of the child. It has to be standalone and supported by national governing bodies and sports in general, and significantly it has to be integrated throughout other subjects as well. And now I think we're beginning to get to a stage where the integration that was the vision of the 1999 curriculum is beginning to become a reality, and where we're beginning to look at literacy through physical education, and hopefully physical education supporting the development of literacy as well. And similarly with numeracy and mathematics education, that we should be saying where in mathematics education can we actually encourage children to move and to be active and to use the physical education skills, and similarly in a very active way have some mathematics within physical education. I don't think we were ready for that. I think we're beginning to be ready for that now.
And given the fact that the time for physical education is so short every week, would you be worried that some of the time might, you know, be taken away from physical education if it were to be integrated with lots of other subjects?
It could, and I think it's for those of us who work in physical education to advocate strongly for the physical education lesson is about physical education, but that the links can be made through the core work that's being done in literacy and numeracy, and particularly I suppose in Gaeilge as well, and it can happen then through PE without any PE time being, you know, specifically and explicitly devoted to the other subject areas. We need every minute of the PE time and more.
One of the things that often comes up in relation to physical education is the whole challenge of obesity. What, if any, response do you think physical education teachers can make to that challenge in society in general, especially in childhood obesity?
I think we can make a significant contribution, but maybe not in the way that's often proposed. What I'm referring to here is that an awful lot of people suggest that the physical activity component of the PE lesson, the children are going to reduce their obesity levels by being more active, run more in PE and so on. It's not that simple. But the important thing within PE is that children get the skills and the attitudes and the motivation to be physically active throughout their school days and beyond. And it's only with that firm conviction that we can really say if PE has a contribution to solve the obesity crisis. And there's no point in denying it, we are in crisis.
And finally, Frances, and there's so much more we could talk about, but do you have a favourite resource for PE, whether it's a book or a website or something that you go to for ideas or for stimulation in relation to the subject?
I have two. Firstly, I think it's really important to support student teachers and teachers to get on the first rung of the ladder. So I make no apologies for materials that are prescriptive. And I think in that situation, the PSSI resource is available on the PDST website, is a go-to that we recommend to student teachers and beginning teachers. Once you have taken that resource, which illustrates progression across a variety of activity areas, I think you can then dip into the second resource, which is the PDST resource, and they have a fantastic online resource now to support the teaching of fundamental movement skills with video clips and very clear teaching points. So the marriage of the two resources, I think teachers can't go far wrong in an Irish context with the relatively large class sizes that we have.
And that was Dr. Frances Murphy from Dublin City University bringing this week's Inside Education to a close. Remember, you can listen back to this and hundreds of other Inside Education podcasts by going to seandelaney.com and clicking on the podcasts tab. My book about teaching, Become the Primary Teacher Everyone Wants to Have, published by Routledge, is available online or on request from your local library. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.